Hey, this is Jim Larrabee. I'm the lead pastor here at First Christian Church, and this is our podcast. My prayer is that the words you hear encourage you, that they challenge you, that they build your faith and draw you closer to Jesus. So, enjoy.
Hey, good morning, FCC. Man, I'm excited about diving into God's Word today. So if you got your Bibles, your Bible apps, we're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians. So that's where we're going to be at. While you're finding that, though, let me give you just a couple of quick shout-outs. The first one, we sang a song. I think it was the second song, and we said this phrase in that song, Honey from the Rock, and some of you are probably like, what in the world is that about? That is a word that was spoken to God through Moses to the children of Israel. They were in the desert, right? And there was so much that they didn't know, they didn't see, they didn't understand. And Moses was communicating to them saying, hey, listen, your God is big enough. Your God is big enough to take these rocks, and if he needs to, turn honey out of them. And so this morning as I was singing that, I actually kind of felt that. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. One, I know what it's like to walk in a desert. Two, I know what it's like to look and see all around and all you've got is rocks. And you're like, what is going on, God? What is happening? But our God that made that same promise to the children of Israel is the God that we worship right here, right now, today, that is willing to say, hey, you bring your desert, you bring your rocks, you bring yourself, and I will make some honey. And so this morning, this moment, and maybe that's for you. You've come in here and it's hard and it's tough and it's challenging and there's stuff that is going on and you just need God to make a little honey in your heart. He will do it. I think our journey is just being open. God, you do that work. And so, man, I just want to encourage you, whether it's worship or preaching or we're going to do baptisms, which I can't wait to tell you about, whatever part of it that resonates, you let God speak to your heart and your soul today because he's got a word for you. He absolutely has a word for you. Now, speaking of that, I told you we had baptisms. We got them all day long today. I love it when we do baptisms. We did them first service. We've got three this service, and we're going to start at the end of the message, by the way, with Marco. Where's my man Marco at? I saw him. There he is, Marco. Good job. Okay. Good job. You didn't sit too far back, so we can reel you in here after the message really quick. Marco, I love his story, his journey. It's one of those that many people have, right? Like, hey, a religious background, but there was a time when he just kind of fell away a little bit, man, and it hit some rock bottom stuff. But I love what you said in your story that God absolutely met you there. You got to the end of yourself and that's where you found Jesus. And he reached in and he rescued you and brought you back. And now you are following him, which is beautiful. And that baptism is a celebration of that moment, Marco. So I can't wait, man. It's going to be beautiful to do that. Your baptism, which is amazing. And we have a mom daughter today. Mandy and Aaliyah. I almost left my mind. Mandy and Aaliyah. I love it when we do combo baptisms, especially the parent-kid things that are awesome, or young adult, and so we got that going on. Mandy, I love your story, too. Not an easy journey. It's not an easy journey. A lot of ups and downs, a lot of just struggles and pieces, but I love your statement where you talk about how now you live free in Jesus, and I don't think you can say it any better than that, and so this is Mandy's declaration that this baptism is her moment of living free in Jesus, and she's ready to declare that with her church family. But it's not just Mandy, it's her daughter, Aaliyah, who is being baptized with her also. And your word, just, I have found the peace of Jesus in my heart, my life. And I think that is beautiful. And that you're doing this journey together is amazing. And it's Aaliyah's birthday. And so this is kind of a fun little combo to put it all together, which is awesome. And so I can't wait. If you're new here, we try to tell the baptism stories at the beginning of the message, and then right after the message, we'll do the baptisms, and you'll just see them as they happen while we're singing a song. So it is going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. This is just the highlight of my day. Love, love, love what God is doing in the life of people. So hopefully that's given you enough time to find 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, if you're new to us, we're working through this book. We've been a little slow. There's been a lot of stuff in chapter 4 that I wanted to pause and talk about. But I promise, we're wrapping up today. We'll wrap up chapter 4 today. I'm going to do all of chapter 5 next week, so we can kind of speed up a little bit. My goal is to finish by the summer, into the summer. And so anyway, but we're going to be getting in some really good stuff here as we go through this. One of the things to remember, if you're like, I'm new to this book, I'm new to 1 Corinthians, I have no idea what you've been talking about, Pastor Jim. Well, this will help. The book of 1 Corinthians was written to a church that had problems, which, by the way, is every church that that's ever existed. Like there is no, if you find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll mess it up. So the deal is every church has problems. And the reason every church has problems is because churches are made up of broken people. We don't come in here perfect. We don't come in here all dialed in and just right. No, we walk in those doors messy. And if there's anything I know, it's this: messy people make messes. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we have Jesus. That's why Jesus is alive and well in our life, so that he can come in and do that cleanup work. That's why we have the word. And so what the Apostle Paul is doing for this church in Corinth is he's basically saying, listen, you, I love you, I care for you, and I want to step in and speak to those problems. I want to speak to those issues, those messes that are going on that's creating havoc in your life and your journey and in your church. And so we just get to see that, and we get to kind of look and see where it applies to our heart and our life in this journey. So that kind of gives you a little understanding of 1 Corinthians as we're going through it. Now, the thing that we're going to talk about today is something that I would call the big problem. Like the reason I call the issue that we're going to talk about today the big problem, because if you look at all the small problems that were going on in 1 Corinthians, and there's a lot of them, right? There's a ton of them. We're going to get into some of those small little pieces that are happening. The big problem, if you trace it back, is this one issue, that if they were to get this one issue right and correct, all these little problems would go away. So identify this one as the big dog. So we're starting here with the big dog problem that Paul is gonna go after. And that big dog problem was simply this: Corinth, the church in Corinth, the people of Corinth, had an issue not trusting the word that God had given them. So many of their problems would have been solved if they'd have just trusted the word that God had given them. And God had given them the best stuff. I mean, literally, Apostle Paul was the one that started the church in Corinth. This was his baby. Apostle Paul was an apostle, right? Big A. He spoke on God's behalf. He helped establish the word. He was the one that was commissioned to go to the Gentiles. This was the dude that God said, go speak to the pagans, speak to those on the outer edges. And Paul says, you got it. So he goes to these places, and he's in Corinth, and he helps start this church. He helps lay the foundation. He loves these people. He cares for these people. So he is bringing the word as God's man, as the apostle in this church. Now, I want to hit the pause button here, because sometimes I get the question, are there still apostles today, Jim? Is there still people? Well, there are apostles, but they're not big A apostles. Big A apostles were those ones that, you know, like the disciples and Paul, that were given this special, unique ability to speak scripture. We don't have those today. We have apostles, but they're little A's. They're more leadership styles, right? Like Billy Graham. Billy Graham was an apostle. Little A, he led the church as a whole in revival and redemption. That's amazing. Our Catholic brothers and sisters would say, hey, the Pope is an apostle, but he's just little A, right? The biggest difference is this, is that no one, no little A apostle, no one that lives now has the ability to speak as God speaks, to speak equal to scripture. And that's super important. Paul could. Paul actually writes letters and it becomes scripture. The John and Matthew and some of the disciples speak on God's behalf and it becomes scripture. That is not an open door anymore. That all that is done. That the apostles we have today are apostles as leaders, but they do not speak with the same authority as scripture. Every one of those apostles we have today are absolutely under scripture. Absolutely. And that's a big thing to bring up, because there are a lot of folks today say, hey, Jim, oh no, I got a word for you, Jim. And they give that word and I'm like, oh man, all right, well, let me check and see what, well, that, man, I don't see that word anywhere in this book. What in the world are you talking about? Oh, no, I'm just giving you a little something extra. And I'm like, I'm gonna put you back in the maps, because I ain't extra in God's word. So it's this important truth that we have that Paul is giving us. In fact, Paul speaks to it in the chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. He actually says this when it comes to just dialing into what's been written and what God has given. He says these words in verse 6. I have applied all of these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit. Basically, everything I've been teaching you, everything I've been telling you, all of that, I'm living it. I've applied it to me. I'm not just telling you to do stuff. I'm living this stuff, right? So that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. So that phrase, do not go beyond what is written, is critical to Paul. He's like saying, hey, listen, there's a line that you absolutely line up with, which is your foundation, which is the word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that Paul is reprimanding us for having just theological conversations. Sometimes I love talking about weird stuff. You know, did Adam have a belly button? I want to know. I'm trying to figure out. He wasn't born, so there was no umbilical cord. Did God just create a six pack? And that was just the cleanest six pack you ever seen, right? What? How did it work? You know, I want to have this conversation. I want to talk to people about this. Sometimes we want to have these theological discussions about end times and who's going to be the Antichrist and what's going to happen. You know, can God create a rock so big that even he can't pick it up? You know, there's all kind of random weird stuff that we love talking about in a theological way. Paul's saying that is just fine. Have those conversations, that's no worry. Enjoy yourself in those kind of places, but do not build theology on things that are not written. That's so important. Paul says, man, don't build theology on things that are not in the word. And we see this happen all the time. People will step up and say, hey, I got a word from God. And they start moving people away from what the gospel is, and Paul warns against that. He says, hey, listen, I'm gonna give you some extra stuff, some different things, and pretty soon these folks are in a completely different ballpark when it comes to Jesus and the gospel, and they've started a false religion or a cult, and people just gravitate right toward them. And so we are given the admonishment right here, right now, to not be go beyond what is written, not to build our theology on anything that's not in God's word. And that was happening in the Corinthian church. When you read the letter, when you see what's going on, you see what was going on. These Corinthians, they were all over the map, right? They were adding things to scripture. In a couple of chapters, we're gonna see the stuff they added. Hey, we're gonna do this and this and this and this and this. And Paul's like, what are you doing? Why did you add that? You're about to go off the cliff. We're gonna see in a couple of weeks the things that they took away from scripture. Well, we're not gonna do that. We're not gonna do that. We're not gonna do that. And Paul's like, what is going on? I gave you that truth. That needs to be in your heart and your life. It is keeping you on the path that you need to be walking. Why did you stop doing that? And so that was going on in the life of the Corinthian church, and it was creating all of these problems. All of these little problems that we're gonna see were all coming from the fact that these guys had set themselves above God's word. And I think that's still just a good reminder and a challenge for us. Like, the moment I decide what is relevant and not relevant in God's word, what am I doing? I'm setting myself above it. Oh, this is good stuff. This is amazing stuff. No, that's not for me. That's for my wife. And so I'm just not gonna let, you know, kind of thing, right? The moment we start picking and choosing what we live, what we follow, what is relevant, the moment we start doing those things is the moment that we elevate our wisdom above God's wisdom. The moment we start doing these things, the moment that we elevate ourselves above God. And we have to be so cautious of that. We probably don't even think about it sometimes. Oh yeah, that's not for me, that's for someone else, or that's for another time, or that's just not where I'm at right now. And we are literally making ourselves God because we are pushing ourselves above his word and his standard and what is written. And Paul says, man, slow down. Paul says, you know, watch that, be cautious of that, because it will lead to all kind of problems in your life, in your relationships, in your churches. And so he calls that out. He tells us that he wants us to look at that, because the truth is, and I know you know this, there is only one God and I am not him. It's okay to amen that. Some of you wanted to. I saw you were like, you look around. Yeah, I'm not God. I don't elevate me to that. And by the same token, I'm not God. You're not God either. You know, there's only one God, and all of us, every single one of us, yield to him. You find someone that's not yielded to that truth, then you have found someone that you better watch out for. That we all are yielded to God himself, and we all follow him. But let me make it practical. That's kind of theoretical, right? You're like, oh, that's a good thought, Jim. That's a good thought. Let me make it super practical. Here's a super practical question that you can ask yourself when it comes to where you are with God's word and how it settles in your life. Do I take God's word seriously? That's your practical question. Do I take God's word seriously? And here's what I mean. Do I view it as a foundation? Do I take God's word and see it as a foundation for my life, how I live, the decisions I make, how I process everything? Is my worldview kind of gridded through God's truth and God's heart and God's wisdom and what God wants in this world? Do I run life with God's word set in that place? Or, there's another option, or do I see God's word more as a collection of suggestions? You know, like rolling up to Golden Corral, I'll take some of this and take some of this. Nope, none of that, none of that, none of that, but I'll take a little bit of this too. If that's your approach to God's word, if it's more of a buffet style of what I want, what I don't want, then my friend, you're living your life as if this book is just a collection of suggestions, and Jesus says something about that. Jesus himself speaks to this. He actually gives us this really cool parable. He says, listen, if you're not gonna take what I say seriously, then I want you to understand what you're facing. And he gives us this parable in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. This is his words, Jesus himself. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Why are you saying that you're following me, but the things I've told you to do, you're not doing? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, this is what their life's going to be like, right? I'm going to give you a couple of options here. First, here's what it's going to be like. That person who hears me and follows me, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, and every single one of us is gonna have a flood in our life. There's gonna come a storm. There's gonna come a moment when it seems like everything around us is going to overwhelm us. That is a life guarantee. It is. It's just gonna happen. That's not God's design. That's how this broken world works. And so God says, hey, listen, when the flood comes, which it will, the stream, the water will break against that house that's built on that foundation, and it will not shake it because it has been built well. The foundation is on the rock. But the one who hears and does not do them, the one that hears these words and just takes them as suggestions, just picks and chooses, is like the person who builds a house on a ground without foundation. They just build a house on the sand. And when the storm comes, when the water breaks, when the stream rises against it, immediately it falls, and the ruin of that house is great. Now, there's a couple of things in this story. There's one thing that I learned this week. Like sometimes you read scripture and you just don't pick it up. There's a new thing that I learned this week that I'm gonna give to you. But let me just give you this first. What Jesus is really laying out here is the foundations, and this is so self-explanatory, right? There's two foundations. There's the rock. There's absolutely the rock, which is God's word. And he says, listen, build your life on my truth. Because when the storm comes, if your life is built on my truth, then it stands. But that other foundation is anything that you just find in the world, world's wisdom, culture, standards. You can build the same house. And in fact, I will say this, you can build an amazing looking house on the sand. You ever drive by a good looking house and you just kind of do that slow roll? That looks good. I wonder what they do to afford that. Like that's how you know, just kind of keep the roll going. But I love doing that. We do the slow down all the time. I'm sure we've been reported on some of those Facebook groups. Strange guy driving by house, really slow. Watch what's going on, right? And so we can build amazing houses on anything. But the question isn't what you build that looks good to the world and good to the people. The question is, will it stand the storm? When the waters rise, when the storms rage, Jesus says, man, that stuff that's built on the sand, that stuff that's built on your wisdom, the world's wisdom, culture, man, it absolutely crumbles and falls, and it leaves you with nothing. And so we are called by God to build on his truth. We're called by God to dive into his word, even when it's challenging. Is God's word challenging? Absolutely. There's some of it that's easy. Love your neighbor when they're nice and sweet and they live right beside you and bring you sugar when you need it. Yeah, that's great. Love your neighbor when they're mean. When they don't like you, when their dog gets in your backyard and almost takes out one of your chickens, which happened to us this weekend. Love your neighbor. Love those neighbors, right? Like that's a little bit of a challenge, and some of God's word can be a challenge. But the reason he gave it to us, even the stuff that challenges us and pushes us, the reason he gave it to us is because he's our creator and he knows what's best for our soul. Do you trust that? Do you trust that God looks at you and says, hey, listen, man, I know what's best for your heart. I know what's best for your life. I know what's best for your soul. There are a lot of people that doubt that. God is not after my goodness. My friend, he is. In fact, he says that over and over again. The thing that God wants you to have today, I give you three things, just super quick. Three things that God wants you to walk out of here with today. And the first one is simply this, it is joy. God absolutely wants you to walk out of here with joy, not filled with guilt and shame and condemnation, but to be filled with his joy and his delight and his happiness. Jim, how do you know that? Because that's what Jesus says, John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that story about the foundations, I told you that story that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. God absolutely wants you walking out of here delighted in him and what he's doing in the world and your life. Not only does he want you happy, he also wants you to have peace. Man, God wants you more than anything to have peace. He says this to us in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace is what I give you. God wants you to be at peace. He doesn't want you to be in turmoil in your relationships and your circumstances and situations. And so he's given us truth. Sometimes truth that pushes us, but it's truth that will push us to his peace, which he gives that passes all understanding. Not only does he want us to have joy and peace, but he also wants to give us hope. And I love this about God, that we can walk out of here on Sunday mornings filled with hope. Some people have spent their life going to church and they walk out the doors and they're just like hopeless. Man, I am a train. Man, God doesn't love me. Oh my goodness, I'll be a worm and go get in my car and drive home and I guess I'll go back next Sunday. That is not God's design and hope for you this morning. He wants you to walk out of here filled with hope, filled with the truth that and the understanding that he can change you. That's why we're having these baptisms. That's why we do this work. He can do that work in us. And he says this in Romans 15:13. This is Paul. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in your believing, in your trusting in his word, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may have hope and that hope may abound. That's why God calls us to the foundation. That's why God says, build your house on that foundation, because those are the things that he wants to give you today. Now, what was the thing that I learned? I told you I learned something brand new when I was reading the scripture. I was reading it, and I don't know why, but for the first time, I saw this little phrase, you see it in here, like a man building a house who dug deep to get to the rock. First time this week I saw that, and God just really pushed on my heart and my soul with this. He's like, Jim, you know what? I just want you to understand this, that growing in Christ takes work. Not something I really wanted to hear. Now, you know what? I wanted him to say, Jim, oh, you know, just don't worry about that. You know, all you got to do is just come to church, just sit and soak and hear those amazing messages from that incredible pastor. And you just be dialed in, right? That's what we want God to say. That's how it works. Oh no, Jim, you just go home and just put that Bible under your pillow and you just go to sleep at night and you just dream about Jesus and you just wake up with scripture memorized. Jesus wept. Wow, that's amazing. It's in my head now, right? Or no, what you need, if you just get a really cool Christian tattoo, then that'll just elevate you to what you need spiritually. And by the way, I have mine planned out. I'm going to get two. I'm going to get one on this arm that says I lift and one on this arm, people spiritually. And so that's just going to be my that tattoo's right there. So one's going to be, and then the other, that's it. So anyway, so I know that's, if that's the deal, then my friend, you are going to be the same tomorrow as you are today that you were yesterday. Because the truth is, we've got to dig deep. The truth is, it takes work. The truth is to get to that foundation sometimes, we got to dive in. The truth is that we got to wrestle with ourselves. My flesh knows how to wrestle. And I got to wrestle with that flesh and wrestle with that struggle. The Apostle Paul will say this in Philippians to a whole nother different church. These words, Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, I love that. I love you. I care for you. You're my people. I love you. So I need to say this. As you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but also even more in my absence, work out your own salvation. He's not telling us that we got to earn God's favor and delight. God looks at you and he's delighted in you. He sees you and he sees Jesus in you, and he loves and cares for you and wants to pour grace and mercy on you. But the truth absolutely is you want to grow in that grace. You want to grow in that mercy. You want to grow in this journey in life. You want to grow in those things. Then my friend, you got to do the hard work of learning the truth and living the truth. And that's a part of what Paul is giving this church. Like, they're struggling with problems, right? And he's like, hey, you got to do the hard work. It's just not going to go away. You know, you can't just close the door and leave all the messy people out, because you'll find out you got messy people in. The deal is we do the hard work of learning his truth and living his truth. That's what he wants for us. That, my friend, is the calling. And sometimes I have people ask me this question, Jim, what's my calling? You got called to be a pastor. You know, what do you think my calling is? Pastor is just a vocation. It's a thing I do. You know what my true calling is? And it's a calling for all of us, no matter whether I'm a pastor or plumber or astronaut or military or college student or Chick-fil-A worker. Doesn't matter. You know what my calling is? My calling is to learn the truth of God and to live it wherever God has placed me in this season of life. If he's placed you in college, if he's placed you in high school, if he's placed you in a job or a circumstance, you take God's truth and you just bring it with you. And that's what we do. That's the calling he's placed on our lives. And it solves the problems. It solves the problems that we run into. Now, we still have challenges, but the problems that we wrestle with tend to go away when we get the big thing right, God's word in our life. Now, and then Paul gives us one more thing, and I'll do this quick, but I think it's important. He ends chapter 4 with such an interesting truth that I don't want us to miss. And he says this. I'll read it to you, and then we'll dive into it super quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. I do not tell you all of this stuff, right? Everything that he told us about his word and having that, taking God's word seriously. I do not write these things so that you are ashamed. I'm not trying to make you ashamed of how you're living your life currently. I'm trying to help you make you better, right? I'm trying to help you grow in your faith. I'm not writing these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as beloved children. I want you to grow in your faith. For though you may have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I'm your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. This is why I sent Timothy to you, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in the church. What is Paul doing? He's affirming to us something that we absolutely already know, that there are thousands of people that want to speak into our life spiritually on behalf of God. If you don't know this, go to YouTube and just type Jesus in the search bar and see how many videos pull up. Everybody and their brother and their dog wants to speak on God's behalf into your heart and your life. There are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of videos there. You can just watch and you can see. Absolutely. Here's a sad truth. Too many of those voices are not worth listening to. Absolutely, they're not worth listening to. There's some that just absolutely, they just want to have influence, or there's some that just want to, do I have a platform? There's some that just want to say stuff. There's some that just want to get puffed up, but I got a word from the Lord for you, right? And they just want to bring that. And the Apostle Paul is scratching his head saying, hey, the folks in Corinth had that same issue. There were thousands of people that wanted to speak into to folks' lives, but there are only a few true fathers in the faith. And fathers is not a male-female term here. He's talking about authority. There's only a few people that absolutely have the authentic authority to speak on God's behalf into our lives. So here's the question. How do we know? How do we discern the voices? How do we discern who is a true, authentic authority, father in the faith that can speak into our life and someone we shouldn't listen to? I'll give you three things, and this is where we're landing the plane. Three things to know if you should trust the voice that wants to speak spiritual things into your heart and your life. You ready? Write these down, put these in your heart and your mind. Here's the first one. It's the top one on the list. If you're gonna evaluate somebody speaking into your life, does what they say, first and foremost, line up with scripture? I got a lot of people that want to say things to me on Jesus's behalf, and they'll speak and I'll be like, sweet, love it, awesome. Yeah, I'll check you out tomorrow. Kind of the, I check them with scripture. I absolutely look and I check. What are you saying? Does that line up with what God has to say? Is it here? Can I do it? I've told this story before, but I think it's so powerful. I preach, we do three services, and usually one of the services, my wife's serving in nursery now, so it's a lot of time the third service, she'll come and she'll sit in the service, and I love that. I love it when my wife's here, because, you know, she's smiling at me, and I just feel good, my wife is here, and every once in a while, she'll give me a kind of, you know, and I'm like, yeah, baby, and I'm like, I'm going to preach harder now, I got this, right? But on occasion, I'll look over, and she'll do this. And she'll pick up her Bible, and like right in front of me while I'm preaching. And, you know, just start going through it. Just start looking. And I know what's going on. You know what she's doing? She's fact-checking me. And I'm her pastor in the middle of a message, and she's fact-checking. I'm like, baby, what's going on? And I'll be honest with you, for years this bothered me, because she's done this our whole marriage. And I would just look at her, and I would be like, hey, babe, I chose you. Obviously, I make good choices, and I understand what's going on, right? So she will do this. And finally, I just had a conversation with her. I said, do you know that I see you? Do you know that I see you do this? And she says, absolutely, I know that you see me. But I want you to understand, as much as I love you and trust you and follow you, I love and trust and follow God more. And I'm gonna trust but verify who you are as a preacher in my life. I have come to appreciate that, and I love it now. In fact, I mean, if you ever see me just smile in a message, it's because my wife's over there checking. I'm just going to check that whole truth out. I don't know about that. I'm 100% right all the time. Anyway, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. I don't care who the person is, including me, that you should trust but verify. If you are under someone as a pastor, if you're under someone as a leader, if someone is speaking into your life, then my friend, absolutely always, every time, you check them out. Now, I am not giving you guys permission to make faces at me and pick up your Bibles and go, you know, in church. Yeah, do it after the service and email me. That is totally fine. But this is how we hold leaders accountable. We check them with God's word. And if they're off, if I'm off, if anyone is off, we as God's people hold them to account to what God says, because you remember, no one is above the word of God. So that's the first thing that I check out. When I listen, I was like, hey, is what you're saying, does it line up with God's word? The second thing is this right here. It's, does the person live the truth that they speak? And this is really important. James 1:2 says this, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. Now, if all someone wants to do is speak truth in your life, but they're not willing to live it themselves. In fact, they're saying something to you and you're like looking behind them going, "Woo, man, you got some crazy following you. Like, I really, you're pulling the speck out of my eye. Look at this log that's in your eye. What's going on here?" So the deal is this, that if someone is trying to tell you something to do, but they're not willing to do it themselves, that is a red flag, and you ought to just slow the road just for a little bit. Like, hey, listen, I get what you're trying to say. I get that that's probably truth, but what are you doing with it? And that's so important. Now, I am not advocating for perfection. You can look at my life on any day of the week and see sin and messiness and brokenness. It is not about, I will only follow a perfect leader. You will not find one. But you look for a leader that is in pursuit. You look for a leader that's like, hey, man, I'll receive your admonishment. I'll receive what you're saying. I will dive into this word and I will figure it out, and I will work on it. I will work to love Jesus. Man, when you find that in someone, then you know you can trust the words that they're telling you that are from God. And so that's the second thing. The last thing is this, is do they speak truth with compassion? Now, some of us, you can hear me say that and go, oh, that's a great suggestion, Jim. I'll write it down as number three. No, that's not a suggestion. That is Paul's command to us. He says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Speak the truth in love. This doesn't mean we go soft. You will hear me challenge. You'll hear me say, I don't have any problem calling sin, sin, and brokenness, brokenness. We absolutely can and will and should challenge from the truth of God's word. But know this, if we can't do it in a way that also communicates grace and mercy and compassion, then we should keep our mouths closed. And the reason that is, we can train wreck the message of God by the anger and rage of our own hearts. And you see people that they can't hear what you're saying because they're lost in how you said it. And what God is doing is saying this: hey, listen, you've got a message, you've got something you want to say, but do it in a way that it delivers to their heart and soul. Show grace, show kindness. So speak truth, but do so in a way that reveals the very heart of God, which is grace and love and hope. So you take those three things, right? You take those three things and you put them in your back pocket for how you know who can speak into your heart and your life. And so chapter 4 ends this way. It's all about us being healthy Christians, which means two things: that we take God's word seriously, absolutely, and that we discern the people that speak into our hearts and lives. Do not be led astray. Do not be led to left field. Man, you stay grounded because the people who speak into your life speak the true words of God for your health and your hope in Christ. Amen. 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 We got some baptisms to do. I'm gonna pray for us and let God's word settle to our heart and our soul. Father, thank you. Thank you for this personal challenge to me, that in my own life, I better be living the word that I'm speaking. In my own life, that your word trumps everything that I want to say. In my own life, that I speak with compassion and grace. In my own life, that I am yielded. And I pray that for everyone. There's so many leaders in the room. They're leaders because they influence a son, a daughter. They influence a spouse. They're leaders because they have influence at work and relationship. There's leaders all over the place. Father, may we as your leaders pick up the calling that we learn truth and live truth wherever we are. So speak to us. If that's a challenge, Father, if we're being challenged in some area right now, then you let us lean in. Let us wrestle with it. You're okay with our wrestle. You're okay with our doubt. You're okay with our struggle. You're big enough to handle all of those things. And so in the middle of that, you do your work in us, in our hearts and our souls, and you bring us the truth that we need. Thank you that for so many of us, even in a desert, that you're bringing honey out of the rock, that you're bringing hope to us in a time when it is a challenge, whether in parenting or whether in life or whether in work or in school. Father, that you want to bring joy and peace and hope to who we are. And so we just open ourselves up to that this morning. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. A special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. If you'd like to find out more information about giving or to see what's going on in the life of our church, please visit us at fccsantamaria.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.